Welcome to the Tin Biscuit Podcast. We've got a new two new guests that are...
I'm David.
And I'm Mel.
And you're both in a band.
Yeah, it's face-to-face, isn't it?
Yeah, eventually we found without probably the best name, face-to-face. Yes.
Why?
Because he thought that one of the songs would be a good name for a band.
And because we never meet face-to-face, which is the whole point.
This is one of the rare occasions we ever meet.
So how do you do your music?
Through the internet, mostly.
So, are you both in Grimsby? You can
I'm outside. I'm near Caister. But the weirdest thing happened. Late April last year. I was on Facebook, and there was all this suggested friends thing, which I tried to swipe and get rid of. Mm-hmm. But apparently, I had inadvertently pressed a friend request to him.
Yeah.
Unlucky.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And then, about 3 seconds later, I got this message saying, "Do I know you?"
I said,
I'm really terribly sorry about that. I pressed the wrong buttons. Never mind. He said, "What kind of music do you do?" And I said, "Well, bit of this, bit of that, bit of all sorts." I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I do rock funk." I thought, oh, that sounds really good. I think I better end this conversation now. But then he said...
Well, I was on about the fact that it was on about surrealism, wasn't we?
That's right. And I thought, that's right. It was an idea of doing a collaboration. Do you want to do a collaboration? I thought, no. And then we started talking about 1960s American surrealism composers. I thought, well, this is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And then he phoned me up and we had a chat and he said, well, send me a tune. So So I stuck a recorder down, improvised something, and then emailed it to him. And then 2 days later, a song came back.
The first thought I had when I came in and saw you through one light, the glass window, yeah. I thought Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa, there you go.
Well, you do have the connotations to
well,
him.
Well, I have the hair, but not the beard.
Yeah. I just thought, the folk, funk, or sort of... Well, you're all over the place, your music sort of things, aren't you?
Yeah. A very mixed background.
You've done, like, Elvis.
Yeah, I was Elvis's guitarist every Saturday and Sunday for 5 years in Barnsley.
So, what music do you both... Music, what sort of instruments do you both play?
Well, I'm a vocalist primarily, but you build your own guitars, don't you?
Yeah.
You've got to get closer to the mic, David, and don't put your hands in front of your face. I said, what instruments do you play?
I'm primarily a vocalist, but like I said, it's more of a case of a producer as well, would say, in terms of music and stuff like that.
Because it's your job to sort out the stuff that I sent you. Oh, just to make things harder, I record using one system, mm-hmm. which I then send to David, who uses a completely different incompatible system. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he has to put all together whatever it is I've just sent.
Yeah, basically, it's two different logic, and he used Pro Tools and. There's no real middle ground in it, so you've got to convert everything to one thing so I can actually work on it, and it's the most, well...
Well, I like Pro Tools, and he doesn't, that's about it. But the weird thing is, and I think why it works is, we never, ever meet. In fact, it took ages before we met.
That's good for you.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it must have been like 6 weeks, and we'd written... about 8 songs in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But never met. And that was... But it's the mystery of me sending off a bit of music and not knowing what's going to come back.
It's like pen pals, but with music.
Yes. It is.
And it's like a little surprise in your inbox. And he doesn't know what he's going to get.
No. So one day it could be like a nice acoustic song. Next it can be a Russian opera.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And...
No, go on.
Oh, and basically, it's like one of the biggest songs we ever did, in fact, well, just completed recently, was a literally 10-minute Russian opera. He decided, because he recorded something in the studio for 5 minutes, he wanted to do a half-an-hour song cut down to 10 minutes. Now, he sent me this saying, what can you do with this, Dave? I don't think you can do anything with it. And I thought, I'll give it a go. I ended up spending 2 months making 96 lines of vocals onto it. And how many lines of instruments did you
put
on
it? Oh, I lost count.
Yeah. And it turned into a full-blown opera. And it was, it's, and again, that's just like a genre we did, then we move on. And last song we did was a bossa nova, then it was a heavy metal
maybe
song.
Maybe if you send that Russian one to us, we can put it on there.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got 10 minutes to spare.
Yeah.
Well, we won't put the 10 minutes on, but we'll put 30 seconds on.
Great, the greatest hits of
instead
it.
Instead of my outro music, we'll put that one in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not complaining.
So you build guitars. Just going back to the other part, you said you build guitars.
I wouldn't say craftsman built. I do build different instruments because... I saw some somewhere on a market, and it was basically a tin can with a stick and a string, and they were charging ridiculous amounts of money for it. I thought, I can do that. And then people started to give me different shaped biscuit tins, like radios, or I've just made one from a biscuit tin shaped like a Jaffa cake with a bite out of it.
Oh, cool.
And then I thought, I'll do lap steels because I wanted a country tuned lap steel to do a country song. So I got an old toilet seat, and I made it out of that, and it sounds ace. So it's kind of, and the house is full of them. But I've got other instruments as well.
What sort of other instruments?
Lots and lots of guitars. Is my wife going to be able to hear this program? Because
she downloads it, I'm afraid.
Oh no! Well, yeah, there's a lot of guitars in the house, but most of them are hidden behind wardrobes and under beds and so on.
Sounds like she's an addict, doesn't it? Like an alcoholic.
No, I'm down to 32. No.
Like I am with eating.
Yeah. I've got loads of violins, mandolins, anything with strings on it. And, And it's nice just to give them an airing and play them, which is why if I haven't played one for a bit, I'll make up a tune and send it to him so he doesn't know what he's going to get.
What instrument he's going to get.
What instrument is going to get, what tuning it's in, if it's going to be acoustic or electric, slow, fast, or whatever. And then, if I get bored, I'll send him something like 8 minutes of one chord all the way through.
You say to me, I bet you can't do anything with this, and I end up coming back with a full song.
And then I did one that, by the end of the first verse, it was about four times as fast. And by the time it finished, it was about 20 times as fast.
Yeah.
Except I'd forgotten I'd done that. And he phoned me up and said, I'm struggling, it gets a bit fast. I said, well, surely not. And I listened to it, but it's good, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Good song.
Like I said, it's sort of ended up with like 35 since April, 35 songs since then.
Yeah, 35 songs since April.
And that's kind of ridiculous because I'm used to like people doing a song every 2-3 weeks and you end up waiting for them to do pass. This is like a souped up version of actually songwriting for me.
Yeah, but it is addictive because you feel compelled to get another one off to him. Mm. And then when this one comes back, you think, no, I better write another one. And it kind of this loop. And production values have had to increase enormously. Yeah. Because at first they stuck a microphone down, but now we're recording the studios here in the Grimsby Institute. So... That's kind of raised the game a bit. But
what would you describe your music genre as?
Eclectic.
Eclectic.
Because there is not one genre we haven't covered so far.
Like country, done country. Yes. Death metal, you would have done with you.
We've done heavy metal.
Done every.
We haven't done reggae.
No, we're done reggae.
Reggae. Fake news you're giving me, David.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll
have to go to CNN.
We've done slow ballad. The latest one's the Bossa Nova.
Yeah, the Bossa Nova.
Sounds like it should have been sung by Matt Monro.
And who programs the percussion?
Well, you do mainly. I sometimes put extra bits on it because what we do essentially, he'll send the original track and then he'll send extra bits and I'll re-edit the song in like Logic and put those bits in and find other parts and it's sort of a joint effort in terms to make a full song.
Yeah. I sometimes record with a drum track but might not use that in the final mix. And so
it's just like a guide to see.
Yeah, just as a guide. Yeah. But sometimes I think, oh, actually, I might leave that in, or I'll add to it. And,
I'll just take it off completely.
Yeah, because sometimes it doesn't work, drum track, when I get it sent. I'm thinking, well, actually, it sounds a lot better when there's no actual drum in there. It's a lot more open for interpretation, because with the drumming, sometimes it can restrict what you do, because obviously the pattern.
Yeah. It just depends on the song, but as you said, there's such a... And the influences are vast. You know, Skip James, there's jazz, Rory Gallagher.
Yeah.
I was a bit, Paul Kossoff was in there. You know, they've got a lot of Richard Thompson influences. It's kind of from all over the place. Mm.
So, what's your musical taste? I'll go to you first.
Well, I've done all sorts.
But you must have some sort of...
Yeah, I go for more of the rock element, yeah. As you probably can gather. It's the sort of the more the style that I is accustomed to, as it were. But I've never been not open to do other like styles. Like previously, before I was working with Mel, it was more of a case I was in a funk soul band, and I've never attempted that before. But the band was moderately successful from it. But it's one of these things where I don't like to define my character by like going, well, I'm only into that music, because you end up like going, well, I'll only do that music and never work like do this sort of thing, because you go, well, I can't do anything with that because it's not my music.
What sort of bands are you into?
Currently,
what do you listen to when you're working out, walking to work?
Oh, mainly stuff I've got to learn if I'm in a band, so it's heavy metal normally.
Nothing to chill out to, just to relax. It's all learning.
Yeah, it's all learning, because otherwise, as a child, I never grew up in a family with music. So in that case, it was never there. So when I started doing bands and that, like, it was always, can you learn that song? So I started learning the songs, and that's why I started listening to the music and learn, like, getting bands I liked. But it's more of a case of it's more working than actually pleasure most of the time.
So would you say you get more pleasure out of playing music than you do listening to it?
Yes, absolutely.
I couldn't imagine that, because I do both, you see. I mean, yeah. I play the drums, I play them since I was 10.
Every time I see a band, I wish I was up there rather than watching them. That's my position, that's what I get from it sometimes.
And I listen to music for enjoyment,
yeah.
And listen to learn.
Yeah.
But you just listen to learn.
Well, I do enjoy it if I like the song.
I think that takes the fun out of it.
It kind of does, but kind of doesn't, because it gives me a perspective, like, can I do what that vocalist can do?
Not, then not it would make it like take. A job. And that's like...
Well, it's not a job, because I enjoy it. So it's not like I'm going, oh, I've got to learn this song, I'm not going to enjoy it. It's one of those things where I if somebody says, learn the song, so if you're doing a cover, for instance, I'll try to listen to enough to get to what the guy was trying to do in the first place.
So you're learning through music all the time. Yeah. You would have just put a track on by James or Cannibal Corpse to chill out to and...
Yeah.
No. That's no. Weird. You were weird.
I know. Yeah.
Just ruined music for everyone. Yeah. So what sort of music do you like?
Listen to?
I mean, you're not the same as him, are you, where you
absolutely
just
not.
Listen to learn?
No.
No, he's completely opposite from
me. That they say, you know, iPod, which I thought was cutting edge, but apparently it's old-fashioned. Anyway, if you look at what's on somebody's iPod, you can tell a lot about the personality. So I hope nobody looks at what's on mine, because it is just random, from Shostakovich to Kevin Coyne or a bit of an abstract something or other. It's very, very varied.
Or something like that.
Captain Beefheart and people. I think, yeah, this would get, you know, there's that. But also a lot of predominantly folky, actually. But and crossover stuff, plus I like a lot of the punk stuff. It's anything that just happens to grab me, and so it's just so eclectic.
Have you got a go-to band to chill out to and maybe...
No, it depends. It just varies so much. But I mean, they've got the ones that you always sort of go back to, which is Richard Thompson is my hero, seeing Zaz, he's brilliant, and it keeps changing. And he's never stayed the same. And he never plays the same thing twice the same way. Like, Rory Gallagher is my all-time hero, because he just was a showman. And that's just fantastic live. He never played the same thing twice. He'd forget the words. He sang a different version. It didn't matter. The first music that actually affected me was when I was about 8. And I had a transistor radio and an earpiece. And I was supposed to be asleep. And primary school, ready for bed, go to bed. And it was Mike Raven's R&B show, and they played Lightning Hopkins. And I thought, what is that sound? And it was slide. And I thought, how's he doing that? And I got an old toy guitar, and I found a slide of some description, and that was me hooked. So I suppose that was the one that gets you, because that slide blues gets your soul. And then the next thing, an uncle of my dad's gave me a violin, along with my one and only music lesson ever, which was, this is a violin, there are four strings, you have three fingers on each string, and that note's G. And given that, that was the launch of my musical career. And I heard Dave Swarbrick when Fairport went electric, playing electric folk. And so I got an earpiece out of a telephone head's handset and taped that to the violin, and I was going to be a rock star. That was it. And I'm still trying, God knows how many years later it is.
I'm still young.
So you say you... Do you ever practice? Do you ever meet to practice?
Well,
because you just can't write a song and play it.
It's one of these weird things where I've never done this sort of situation before, where I've not really rehearsed with the people very often. Because I'm used to playing in bands, you write your original song, and then you eventually go in the band, and they all get it right, and you eventually play on stage. This sort of case, it's like the practice more comes in the fact that you're recording, and you're recording it again and again.
The trouble is, because, again, like I said earlier, a lot of it might have been improvised at the time. When you're thinking about playing it, you've got to like go back to the track and do a cover of your version to work out what it was you played so you can go and play it. So, that's an interesting...
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept. It's back to front.
Yeah, it's completely back to front. From
the way you normally do it. Normally with a band, you try the songs out and you experiment with them, see which way they go, whereas this is working the opposite way, and you're using the recording as like a writing tool. Almost.
Yeah, a guideline for like... Yeah.
And so that will be interesting. Plus, you have the added dynamic of how you behave in front of an audience. Mm. And I can't help it, but the demon comes out as soon as I've got an audience, and it becomes outrageous. So I can't really keep discipline in front of an audience.
There is a very different terms of recording and doing it live when we do it live.
You've played live?
Yeah, we've done a few things live.
Which is really scary, because I do it with the same attitude. Why bother practicing? Let's keep it on the edge.
I come over like I need to know who I am while I'm doing because otherwise I'm thinking, well, we don't have this.
You need to know order. You need plans.
It's not a control freak, exactly. It's more like I like to know what I'm doing.
I need to know where I'm going. Yeah. Or if someone's going to be there at 7:30, don't fucking turn off at 8:00.
Yeah.
Just be there at 7:30.
So this is why this works, because we're completely opposite in our ideologies, exactly, because we still have like a certain level of professionalism, but we concepts of how music's made. We're completely opposite.
Where did you play your last gig and first gig?
Well, last gig was I think it was at the rugby club thing.
Scatter?
Cattergate or something. Chatterdale.
Yeah, but we
cricket and football and that.
Just tried that one, but we're playing here in the very Grimsby.
Yeah, we're doing a white box session in a few weeks' time.
A white box session?
Basically, the Grimsby College have this thing where in the dinner time, guest artists get sort of invited in to play for an half an hour set. Now, they get maybe once a week, every Tuesday. So we've been invited to do it sort of like in about 2-3 weeks' time.
We could maybe do it, but we'll have to see if we could do a podcast from it live.
If you want
to.
I can ask the
get other people like the audience on to see what they think, or just...
Yeah, well, I'll ask the tutor if you want.
Depends what tutor is. You like Mike Knapp's not that prick. What tutor is it?
It's Andy Downs.
Don't know.
He's about my age, so he's about 37, 38.
I thought you was 40.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
Because I'm 40 this year.
I know.
It's not good. Yeah. So what time will that be then in the college?
Well, it's about 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. It's dinner time. It's half an hour set.
And have you got a set ready?
Don't you worry. There will be a set ready. I was thinking some of the like heavier numbers. Yes. I'm thinking, yeah, but wouldn't it be good just to play that on one guitar simultaneously, the parts?
See what I mean? This is what me and Diffo is going.
Will it just be you two?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
what about the percussion side? Will that all be programmed through your laptops?
No, we're doing all acoustic live.
Unplugged, raw, acoustic.
So it's going to be different from the actual recorded version. That's the sort of ideal with it. Because
So will there be a drum kit there, percussion there?
There is a djembe. If you... Yeah, are you
No, djembe players, no. Except I've got a mate who is a fantastic, well, he played Darabuka around.
Well, that's the other, because you do a few acts.
I do different acts, but again, we pride ourselves on that particular act, not practicing and not knowing what we're doing and playing things we don't know and never playing the same thing twice.
Like, I ain't worried about that, they might laugh at you.
Well, not really.
No, because they what was that? It's got to be lively. If you're going to stand there, there's got to be a reason for standing there, and people have to remember you.
And you've got to be confident.
Fucking remember you. Won't they?
You've also got to be confident in your own material as well, saying that this is you can stand up yourself, because otherwise you wouldn't do it. You'd think.
Yeah.
I mean, have you got fans yet? Have you got people?
We've got quite a few people like us. We've had people playing on radios and stuff like that across the world and stuff like that.
Who's played you on the radio?
There's a couple of people who we sent stuff out to and they've played it and stuff like that.
We've got a lot of stuff. There's a lot of videos and stuff. Yeah.
And we do a lot of the video music videos as well. If you go on the Facebook page, I've designed a lot of the actual music videos from like old material and stuff like that.
Really, a lot of it was about testing things out, because if there's only two of you saying bounds of always, you've got no audience, you're looking for feedback to think, well, is this all right then? And so we used the Lincolnshire Songwriters Guild thing and stuff. You know, to send it out saying, here guys, what do you think?
And that sort of gives you a bit of feedback, doesn't it? Yeah,
because otherwise, you know, how are you going to get it?
Because in the long run, you can only self-criticise yourself so much before you start going into like absurdity. So it's nice to have a fair perspective, and that sort of thing does give you that, doesn't it?
Because I think the recorded stuff is going to be a lot different from the playing live.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So what happens if someone comes to see you and said, well, you didn't play that like you did on the record?
It works for Bob Dylan. He can do what he likes. That's the thing. Why play it like the record? I'm never going to play the
97%
record.
I do know most bands change things. Drummers change things all the time. Guitarists will put different lick in there, and the bassist will do a little bung in there when it shouldn't be there.
90% of bands don't play the same stuff live,
but they don't do it in a way where it's recognisable to an extent of. It's not really the same song.
If you're doing it, I say most bands when they do it,
it's
going
to be
like
a recognisable tune to your.
It will be, but I am most impressed when the original artists do their own stuff and it's still really good, but it's completely different from the recorded version. And I think, wow, that's skill.
Yeah, I mean, R.E.M. did that with Unplugged, when they did Unplugged in 92. And like they did Pop Song 86 or Pop Song 89. And when I heard it, I thought, that's fucking brilliant. It's like really good Unplugged. And I searched for it on YouTube, and it sounded completely different. Mm. Completely different. And it it's good.
But sometimes when they do the Unplugged one, the quality of the song shines. You know, and sometimes a song that you didn't really like, and then you hear it pure, and you think,
production,
wow,
isn't
that
it?
Song is so much better. The power of the song itself.
I do prefer, and I do like the acoustics sounds of electric. Because sometimes it's more soothing and relaxing, just like a ting. It's like a nice bring.
But it's that shades and
that's
lights.
Impression of an electric guitar and acoustic guitar, by the way.
Well, it's all right.
Thought it was a trombone. But it's
different shades. That's the thing. It's with acoustic one, you get a more sense of, for me personally, that you can be more expressionistic than if you'd like playing in a full band sometimes. Because sometimes in a full band, you're restricted to how you sing it. Like an acoustic one, you can diversify your sort of sound, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and plus, you get found out. You know, if you can't really sing and you rely upon aid to sing, then you just strip down, you're found out. The same as guitars, you know, you can plug into a load of effects pedals and do very little because the machine does it for you. But when you're just doing it raw, live with an acoustic instrument, it's a whole different ball game. You've got to know what you're doing.
Yeah,
I just think it's a dangerous path to go down.
Well, it's dangerous, but at least
you've got to be daring.
The thing is about being dangerous, at least you're trying.
So you never play it your set exactly like the album, should we say, if you played it? You'd never say play them if you did one gig next week, you wouldn't play the same song the same way a different gig.
Well, yes and no, because doing the album version, it'll be very difficult to do the next year live, because a lot of these stuff are, for instance, only me and him doing it, so some of it's got like 3 or 4 guitars, so it's an impossibility to do this stuff live, if you know what I mean. So you've got to do what you've got.
Yeah. Would you ever consider bringing in session players to play stuff?
I don't know, because I'd rather just do it.
Or do you think that would take the zest away of why you're doing it and the concept of it? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
I think the concept is the big thing with this. But
some of them, we were just listening to one before you came in. It was the last one I sent you.
Yeah, the last one sent me, yeah.
And it is just one guitar. That's it. And when he played it, I'd forgotten I'd played it. Yeah. I didn't know it was me playing, but it was. And
you forgot you played it?
Yeah, it does it regularly.
I said, who's that then? Yeah. He said, is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that bit now. And it kind of, you know, no, it's because if you produce a load of stuff, then you forget, because you've done it and it goes. It's like a conveyor belt of songs.
Have you
music.
Got a catalogue of stuff that, like, sort of, you've personally got home that you've accumulated over the years?
Oh, yeah, haven't you? You've got loads of stuff, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like bits of scrap paper, bare mats, lyrics, things like
I used to record things on a portable recorder and go, but of course it could be in a strange tuning. And so you just say, right, put your third finger on the foot. But so now I video it all so I can see the fingering. And then I annotated. Yeah, because otherwise it goes. Because if you produce a lot of stuff, is it 30-something songs we've done?
35.
In less than a year. That's just us.
Yeah.
But then I'd do stuff on my own.
Yeah.
And then...
You've released an album or two, haven't you, since?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yourself doing that. Done an album.
But there's a songwriters group in Grimsby called... The Grimsby Songwriters Group, and
clever name,
yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, imagine it.
Gets the point.
But every month you write a song for that, at least one. So I'm also turning that stuff out as well, and it's just there's so much stuff that comes out that it just racks up and racks up and racks up, and it's and so I play on my own, so I play with the drummers.
You've got a female you do as well.
Oh, yeah, and they do a covers act.
You've got a female you do?
In terms of the music. It's a duo.
A covers duo.
Strange way of saying it. And
I'm in an Irish band, and I play fiddle with an Irish accordion player.
So he's all over the place.
Doing proper Irish stuff, yeah.
The duo part, what's all that about? I know what duo parts are about, Massey. What sort of music do you play and stuff like that?
Well, we do. We tend to do acoustic songs that people don't think you do acoustic. That was the kind of, you know, as well as but I mean, it's things like might do Velvet Revolver or something, and they go, oh, you know, to surprise people, or AC/DC or something like that. But plus, might do Elbow or anything like that. Normally, because you're younger than I am, as most people are, she says, oh, there's this one, and it's in the charts. I say, no good to me. And so she just, she normally plays me on her phone, and I listen to it and play along with the track, and she says, I know the words, right, and then we do it. It's kind of...
What's that band called?
That's Mel and Donna. Mel and Donna. We used to be... No, we tried being Donna and Mel, but it didn't work. We were Donna and the Kebab for a while, but that she didn't like that. And we were the Subtle Brothers for a while, but... So Mel and Donna.
I can see why.
Yeah.
So do you play gigs together?
Yeah, we do a lot around, yeah.
You do it on Christmas, didn't you?
Yeah, we're often on the back of a lorry somehow, I don't know, for festivals.
Where festivals
and things.
Louth or something,
wasn't it? Oh, yeah, we'd play for the lights going on in Case, and we did this year. But, we do Muckies in the Cleethorpes and stuff like that.
Have you got any gigs coming up with that?
We're in the Gas Lamp. The Gas Lamp, which is a lovely little micro sort of pub in Louth next month. Near the end of the month, can't think when, about 28th or something. And then the month after that, I'm back at the Gas Lamp with a crazy drummer. And
who's the drummer?
Oh, he's a guy called Byron, and he just plays djembe, but he gets so much noise out of it and so many different sounds. And we were a rock, folk, Cajun, punk, country and western blues trio once, but now there's only two of us left. And then we do a lot of my stuff, but we'll also just throw in anything on any instrument and keep people interested. Our live busking on the street is raucous.
Oh, you busk?
Oh, yes.
Where do you busk?
Oh, the best one is the Lincoln Busking Festival at Uphill Lincoln.
Steep Hill.
Yes, Steep Hill. Yeah. And I have a wireless thing on the guitar. I've got a guitar made out of a cigar box, which is a great, crazy thing. And you can run round for miles because you play that.
Do you need a permit to busk in Lincoln?
No.
So you can just eco turn up.
The busking festival, yeah, that's all like booked slots and areas because it's very, very, very popular. But apparently, I have it on good authority and people have done it. Is
reasonable.
I
heard that one before and it got me to trouble.
No, no.
Always does.
Well, the thing is, if you go to like Nottingham, you need a permit and so on. But apparently Lincoln, you don't, as long as you don't go annoying people by playing loud and in the wrong places for too long. Apparently,
what about Grimsby?
No, never tried Grimsby.
I always thought about buying a little drum kit, like a 16-inch bass drum, and that, and like just setting up and do a little thing in Lincoln busking.
Well, you can.
I know I can. I'm just saying. I thought. Yeah, no, I'm asking you permission.
Well, no. Good. Well, you have our permission. Yeah, you go ahead. Yes, you go ahead. Yes. There. Yes. We'll put a penny in the hat.
We'll give you a permit.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Great. Have you got that one working out well?
It's for 3 hours. After that, you have to pay 20 pence a minute.
Who, me or them?
Everybody.
I've got an all betting ticket here and a pen. Right.
Yes. The busker's rule. Everybody pays.
Yeah. So that's always...
And have you two ever thought about busking?
I've never actually busked. It's never.
I don't know because I think busking, the whole thing about busking is it's just got to be, well, I think, loud, fast, and keep changing what you're doing and keep moving just in case it's through, you know. And that's pulled in because people are going past and you're trying to stop them getting past.
Also,
and you've got to switch between stuff and, you know.
Also, with busking, it's harder with doing original material.
You can't redo it. I think that's a bit too serious.
Yeah, busking, the way people get in busking is to do covers and original material, it's like they won't know the song, so you haven't got an audience there in the first place. Yeah. So nobody's going to end up throwing like a penny at you or anything like that either.
A penny. Marble
at you and
rocks. Turn it off. I don't know what it is.
Rocks.
Play some Oasis.
Yeah. Can you do Wonderwall?
No.
Yeah. That's quite a good song to be fair, though.
Yeah.
Well, everybody can play it apparently, can't they?
Yeah. That's why I don't.
Everybody can play that song, Wonderwall. It's like five chords, isn't it?
But it's a
five or six.
But yeah.
I've always had this thing where if it's what everybody else plays, I won't play it.
Leonard Cohen,
Suzanne. No, I'm not really going to play that or anything like that. All throughout history, I go, no, I'm not doing that one because everybody does it. John Martin, may you never. No, I'm not going to do that because everybody does that.
So, what sort of songs do you do cover then in your duo band? What sort of like? I mean, I know you've said sort of bands.
Oh,
we've got about 100.
We got about 100 there to pick from. And so you look at the audience and you go, oh, yeah, they're up for, yeah, right.
So it's not a set?
If we know the place, then you've got like 2:45 or something, then we'll set the list out before we go. But if it's sort of a half hour, 45 minutes, and we've not been before, you just look around the room and think, and then we'll normally assemble one. While we're looking at people.
Do you ever ask for requests? Or do people ever say, play this, play that?
If they've seen it before, they do. Because they stop you and say, oh, are you going to do that elbow one?
Please don't.
last time. Oh, there's a lot of requests. No.
You're going to do when you've seen busking.
Yeah. Do you want a fast one or a slow one or a short one? Yeah, we've been there, yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
But what, that's your one and only one of those.
But we do an Aloe Black one. Wake Me Up, is it? Yeah, he did it with that Da Vinci, not Da Vinci bloke, Aloe Vera or somebody, anyway.
Aloe Vera.
Aloe Vera's a plant, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but he was he's dead now, isn't he?
Oh, Avicii.
That's him, Avicii, that's it.
Aloe Vera. Yeah.
That's it, the Aloe Vera.
Brilliant. It's Coronation Street, isn't it? Yeah. Aloe Vera.
Yeah. No, that's blooming. Yeah, that is Coronation Street. Yeah. Anyway, nobody, but we...
I mean, we're Emmerdale on this podcast, by the way.
Oh, sorry, linking it all back at you.
Oh, no, not Emmerdale. Sorry, Emmerdale.
Anyone who mentions anything else other than Emmerdale, they're out.
Zach Dingle. There you go, I've done it for you.
Ah, that's it. No, but we do a country version of that very Aloe Black song. And so,
you should cover Emmerdale. Or maybe the copyright. Maybe
they release a song in Hillbilly Rock or something in like the 90s. I'm sure they did.
It was a Christmas hit.
Yeah, I think they did a Christmas that Emmerdale did. Is this your one on the Emmerdale shout out now then?
I've got two Emmerdale shout outs, actually, thank you. We've had Dominic Brunt, who plays Paddy on, and his lovely wife Jo. So go back and listen to that to this. If anyone even asks to listen to this.
I'm into horror films as well, so it was interesting for me as well to listen to it.
No Coronation Street.
No. Okay. It's too far up north.
Shit anyway, Coronation Street.
It's brilliant.
It's not.
Same channel as Emmerdale, so you might be offending people at Emmerdale.
No, it's not. It's a different channel.
It's ITV.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I thought it was BBC One.
Oh, that's EastEnders.
That's EastEnders. Yeah, they begin with the same letter.
Oh, you see, I did a comment on, there was a thing on Facebook, and someone was on about EastEnders, and I went, oh no, because they cancelled EastEnders for the football or something, and I went, oh no, what will all the singles wubs watch now?
And the football players.
Someone put a big angry face on.
Oh, well, that's what happens when you offend those Coronation Street fans.
Or single mums.
Yeah, or Coronation Street fans.
SJWs, as you was talking about in the car park.
Well, there's a subject we might need to go on to one day.
Well, we've still got a while left. Yeah. Anyway, you should cover some horror songs. You should cover Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield.
Well, have you got the bells?
Well, you can play it on this.
Do you know, when we were doing that opera...
The opera, yeah. That,
there was one part I thought... Oh, I can synth the bells on. I thought, no. I didn't go that far. I just did horns and trombones and things instead. But that was kind of, yeah.
Well, the thing is, with that song as well, that has got a lot of brass in it, hasn't it? A lot of brass in it.
Yeah, that was on I should return to. Cause normally, once I've written it and sent it, I don't go back and add anything. Unless it's like a guitar solo that I didn't know was going to be a guitar solo, and then I just raised it up a level. But
on this one, we took care of it.
Yeah, I had to go back and I had to do more. I wrote in the percussion parts and the brass parts.
You said like that you beat up. Yeah, this time we took care of it.
Oh, we did. It's one of these songs where it took so long. It was very quick
didn't
to
even
do.
Get it.
It's very quick to do, but it was a long time to perfect. The song was. It was one of these when we spent 2.5 months. Creating it essentially,
and it was people gonna be expecting some sort of fucking masterpiece now. It's dead complicated.
It's Bohemian Rhapsody, but you
know. Yeah,
we did it on Speak and Spell, didn't you? Know?
It's not that
like everyone was Speak and Spell,
that's what we did it on.
Yeah, a band called who is it? It's Manor Astro Man, I think they did some of that stuff, like sort of Dick Dale surfy stuff. And they've got another band called Servitron, and they all dress up like robots and like ding, 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 ding.
Ah, now I did a song last year for the Grimsby Songwriters Group, and the theme was codes, and so I wrote the whole song in Morse code, and the lyrics went dot dash dot dash dash dot dot dot, and that was yeah.
Was it actually spelling words when you was doing
it? It certainly was. It was ooh.
Mind blown.
ooh, I love you. But it was like, it was sort of thrash, metal, punk. It was a bit
well,
mad.
It's quite easy because like you can get some online, can't you? You can type it then. Well, you could put things like, fuck you, fuck off,
The problem is, if you get those lyrics wrong, and it's dot, dot, dash, dash, and dot, dot, you could be seeing anything. You can imagine, like...
Well, no, that's what I mean. You go onto Google, you can get a translator, and you could type in a song.
Yeah.
or like a storybook, then transpose it onto Morse code.
When you sing it, obviously, because you're reading this like that, because you obviously never going to learn that song by dot dot dash dash.
Oh, you do go beep boop boop beep.
He did.
Beep,
no, don't. But I had to record.
Just give us
a little bit of
Don't blow the mic up.
There we are. How's that?
I feel like I'm in Monty Python.
Thank you, music lovers.
What did you say?
And it can't be repeated on air.
No, it
so
can.
I'm sorry.
It can. Dot dot dash dash.
It was. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you actually spell the word, or was that just an
example? No, because what I didn't realise until I started to try, because I got the idea and I couldn't stop, was that what I didn't know was the dot is the basic unit in Morse code, which meant the dash is worth three dots, and the gap between each letter is worth two dots, but the gap between words is five dots. Exactly.
This is my point why we go to these.
Exactly. you did ask.
I'm still recovering from the incinerating my mic.
You did it. And now then. And then when I started to write it out.
Brilliant.
Right. And then you go, oh, get divided it into. It ended up being in 7/8 time because that was the only thing that was divisible. Otherwise, it would have made no sense.
Oh, yeah, because that makes a lot of sense. So, did you actually just have any music? Or was it just you stood up going...
Oh, no,
dosh, 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 dosh.
I shall send you a copy. No, it's a driving metal sort of one with screaming guitars. That left you silent, didn't it?
I'm still trying to figure out what you was on about the spaces between each thing. So I mean, like, sort of like SOS is dot, 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 dash, dash, dash,
yes,
dot, dot, dot.
Yes, but the length of the dash is relevant because the length of the dash is three dots.
So you need a dot. So if it went beep, it'd be beep, beep.
It's something like that. Yeah. But then in between each letter, so you know it's not part of the same letter, you have to leave a significant space, which maybe, and I've probably got this wrong, I'm doing it from memory, is like two dot one. Yeah. So there.
This is the thing, he should be a school teacher, so he's used to doing this.
That's crazy.
Which bit of that is crazy?
All of it. No. Just like the concept of like you doing that, like doing a song in Morse code.
Why not?
And actually have proper lyrics.
Yeah, of course. Of course it is.
Why do you think I started working with him? Because it's you don't know what you're going to get with him.
I'm not saying
you
it's crap.
You have no idea.
I'm saying it's pretty cool.
You have no idea what you're going to get. It could be like, typical heavy metal, it could be a guitar string for 10 minutes.
So you sing in the band. So if he come up and said,
"Yeah,
Dave, I've got one of these.
Right, yeah.
Would you sing this?" And it's like a Morse code song.
I would record
it first.
No, I don't. I always think we are. It's like Elton John and Bernie Taupin in reverse, because with those two, they're in separate rooms, but the words come first and then the music. And this is like the same thing in reverse. So once I've done the music, I just pass it over.
Yeah.
And
you don't get
you
too
can't
precious
be precious about
it.
Yeah, about it. No. It's just there it is, and I don't know what's going to happen.
And 95% of the time, I've been quite good with your songs. Where like you've been quite satisfied with the outcome.
Yeah,
I think most songs and most bands record separately now. I know Guns N' Roses, when they had their argument doing your Revolution 1 and 2, I think number 2 was mainly recorded separately. Yeah. So like they did it and sent the tracks off because no one wanted to work with Axl because he was being a div.
Well, that's the problem with Axl. I think he's only just started to learn that.
There's two things you've done wrong. You've mentioned another soap and you've slagged Axl Rose off.
I didn't slag him off. You just did.
No, I didn't. I said he was meant to be a div.
I said I actually.
Oh, meant to be. See,
I was
meant
say,
to be.
I hope he said meant to be. He's recovering from that now. He's starting to get back into doing the bands and stuff, isn't he? He's
as long as he didn't do Guns N' Roses.
Well, they've got the old lead singer of AC/DC's coming back, so he ain't got that gig anymore.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Yeah.
True.
They did do an original lineup of Appetite, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, they did a few songs. That would have been amazing to see. You should maybe do a song and like sing it in a different language.
So that'd be quite interesting.
Well, I was hoping he was going to do this opera in
Russian.
Yeah. And I said, I even sent him links to YouTube for the Soviet Army Choir, thinking,
that was after I said, I assumed this was going to be a Russian opera. He said, no, I didn't think you'd actually think that, but then we got it.
Well, I was hoping you were going to translate it.
Yes, yeah, I'll use Google Translate.
Yeah,
after
absolutely.
After you do the Morse code.
Yeah, great.
Hey. What's that?
Was Russian.
No. Was it?
No, it would go on, it wasn't. It was Belgian. No. So it's good. I mean, it is just good fun
and
to do.
And it's a creative process, I'll say that. Yeah,
and you are surprised. Like one of the early ones, I sent it off, and I improvised. I got a percussive thing on the times play. And then I have a short attention span, and then I start to ad-lib. I thought, I'll ad-lib a little solo in while I'm playing. And it was supposed to be the solo, but he sang all over it.
Yeah.
Because he thought it was the tune.
And
he
thought, didn't tell
and it
me.
Sounded, I didn't tell him. And he sounded really good, and I would never, ever have thought of doing that.
Yeah.
He's lucky you've met him.
Ben?
He's lucky you've met him.
Oh, it's not luck, really. It's more of a case of it's right place at the right time. But it's we've crossed paths before, weirdly, without actually realising it.
Yeah, we've nearly played at the same venue.
Yes, several
apparently,
times.
Apparently, several times. I was on, and he was supposed to be on, but it got cancelled or something, or vice versa.
Or the band decided not to do the gigs and stuff like
that.
Or
vice versa. And when he showed me some videos,
and he said
at some point, I said, well, I know him.
Yeah, so
well, I know
it's
him.
Sort of like it's serendipity thing where you're like five steps from everybody sort of thing, where eventually we're going to meet eventually, but it came through Facebook.
But because we've been, since September, since we've been using the studios here, we've had to meet once a week.
I know,
once
it makes
every
it sound really
weeks.
Bad. We had to meet.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I get the feeling.
Yeah. I know. You can understand why, can't you?
Yeah.
I've known him for a while, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it then. You know better. I don't know what you're doing here, yeah.
Well, I nearly didn't.
No,
So if anyone wants to see you, what's in store for you guys then?
Well,
because you've got your gig next week at the Grimsby.
No, a couple of weeks. I think it's 2 to 3 weeks, that is. It's
you said next week?
No, 2 to 3 weeks. No. It's
fake news.
It's always fake news.
No, you said no.
It's all news. It's either next the Tuesday after or Tuesday after that. So I'm not sure yet because it's still got to be finalised. But then we've got a few things coming up. There's a couple of people want us to do a few. Where is it?
Mic.
Sorry.
It's where it be.
It's a very small gig. Now there's a couple of places we've got a thing, but offhand I can't remember, to be honest.
But what you should do is go on to Facebook and find Face to Face. Face to Face!
Face to Face the band.
And Face to Face should be banned. And then
no,
you
no,
go
shouldn't be banned.
And, oh, shouldn't be banned. Sorry, make that. And,
if it's
and
banned, it's
and, true. Oh, also on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
If you go to Bandcamp, and it'll either be under Mellow Songwriters or Face to Face, probably under that.
And that's the first album on there, isn't
it? That's the first album on there. And you can listen for free for a few times and download it if you like. And that will show you just the conundrum it is when you're trying to describe the genres
and
we cover.
Also, funds his biscuit tin box guitar making the habit.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
And if you go on
biscuit
YouTube,
tin.
My biscuit
tin
guitar.
There you go. Yeah. All loops back. All loops back.
King Biscuit Tin. Yeah.
Do you ever sell them? You'd like tin biscuit guitars?
My wife would like me to sell them all. But
no, I mean, does anyone ask you to?
They do.
You've got a few commissions, haven't you?
Yeah, they do say. But
and what would it cost? But if anyone was interested.
Oh no, but I never make them because I always say to people, look, the fun is making the thing.
You have got videos online.
Oh, the videos are online.
It's got instructional videos.
Have you got your own YouTube channels?
It's on my YouTube channel.
And what's your YouTube channel? So people can...
Well, I've forgotten what it's called. but listen, this is serious. Now, if you want to find it, you type the word Bicky Canster in... Canster.
Do the words,
right.
Letters.
Right, well... Oh, the other thing is, we're both dyslexic, which is B-I-K-I-C-A-S-T-E-R, Bicky Caster. It's like Telecaster, but with a biscuit tin.
There we go.
And that will pop up a picture of this thing, and then that will have my channel and a picture of me as about an 8-year-old. And it's probably Mel O. And you click on that, and then there's a whole load of stuff on there, yeah, with various things, including the toilet seat. I made the mistake when I made the toilet seat slide guitar of saying to people, it needs a name. You know, I've got the Bicky Cancer,
toilet,
I've got the
toilet
what can I have? Yeah, no, they got the Bogmeister, you know, and so he went. And then somebody said, call it the bum noter. I said, no, not the bum noter. But my particular favourite was the skid mark slider, which I thought was ace, but my wife wouldn't let me have it. And then a friend who liked Ravi Shankar saw it and said, it's a shitter. But anyway, it ended up being the Kazi caster.
Now, I tell you what, going on to SJW, some of them would fucking lose their mind and call it a shitter.
You're going to offend people with toilet problems at this rate.
I think it's funny to call it a shitter. Yes. But I don't think...
I think we use that word the most tonight.
Shitter.
Yeah, I think I might have an obsession there. Because one of the other things I do is...
Someone's complained about this then, hadn't they?
I make toilet roll sculptures.
You're not talking about this.
Oh. No,
we need to know now.
You need to know. Okay.
Absolutely.
It started off.
Grimsby.
It started off when I used to stack them in different arrangements and like play toilet roll Jenga, and then video it and write a tune to it, the video. But then I got the toilet roll in a tube. And if you twist them and bend them, they turn into faces. And I've got hundreds of them, and they were all stacked up.
You've never mentioned this to me ever.
Oh, it's spooky. It is. Oh, it's the thing to go. And there we are. And I'm gonna make a video and do a sort of sci-fi scary tune with it. Ah, is the world ready?
How did you come with your obsession with toilet roll?
Well. I'm generally in there every day, and I thought, well, you got to do some with your hands, haven't you, while you're waiting? So I thought,
Oh, so you're actually on the throne and you're actually building.
Absolutely. Well, why
it's
not?
A productive meeting.
Absolutely. So there you go. So that's the whole, yeah. And I had to see, and somebody actually did.
You should get an Instagram page for your sculptures.
I used to have one.
And then video one, and then do the soundtrack of your Morse code.
Now you're talking.
Because that would probably go viral for some strange reason. It'd end up on Eurotrash.
Yeah, well,
we won't be allowed Eurotrash.
If you could time travel to the 90s.
Yeah, actually. No. I did have a blog about ties once. That was because I wore a different tie to work. For a year, and then photographed myself every morning with a tie.
Did you do it like sort of a stop motion time lapse thing?
In fact, if you type Bicky Canster and go into the YouTube channel, which is probably Mel O, on there is video with a soundtrack where it morphs sort of every day, and you can see my hair growing and getting cut.
Tell you the best thing to do, if you can text your YouTube channel or email it to him, and you send it to me, and I'll put it on.
Yeah, okay. I want to see it too.
That's
now.
If you've still got listeners to this one. So, have you guys got a music YouTube?
Well, we've got a Facebook, but
we've got a Facebook.
I was putting music on my own personal YouTube page, but because we got the actual YouTube page, because we got the Facebook page, I started putting it on there, but. Yeah, it's on the Facebook, really, isn't it?
We're really rather on Facebook rather than YouTube at the moment, as face-to-face, anyway.
So what we'll do is, because it's coming up to an hour, like to sort of keep them an hour, just send me all the information. We'll put the Facebook. We won't put your personal details.
Okay.
Unless you want us to.
Only on the weekends.
Only on the weekends. Great. Probably won't even get on anyway after that shit out, I think. Fucking hell.
Well,
brilliant.
You've violated Facebook's standard policy.
It's all right. I'm not on Facebook. I'm on Tim Biscuit Podcast.
That's all the links on
there. Oh, well. There you are.
Nah, fuck Facebook. They're banning everything anyway.
Yeah,
aren't
of course
they?
Yeah. YouTube's banning half the videos because.
Everyone's leaving. What's the giving site called?
You mean Patreon?
Yeah, everyone's leaving that.
It's all up in the air right now, what's going on, because half the things are getting blasted for supposed hate speech when it's not really hate speech, it's just people's opinions, which is being taken out of context.
If they listen to some mine and your Ben's conversation when we went to the horror thing in Hull, we just wouldn't be allowed back in anywhere.
No.
And that's what it is. You're the second person on the second podcast to say it's people's opinions.
Yeah, a person.
I mean, as long as you're not gathering out to kill people.
No, that's the thing. I understand racism things is a bad thing and sexism and stuff like that. But when you have an opinion, which is definitely an opinion rather than an actual problem, and when, like, say, with the police and that nowadays cracking down on hate speech based on people's comments on Twitter, that can be an issue.
It's not really hate speech, is it? It's free speech. No, it's cracking down
No, the class is hate speech. That's how.
But I'm saying it's free speech.
Yeah, it's free speech. It's the idea of like what you say 20 years ago now can be taken out of context and it can be used against you.
Well, I've got a badge that says, and this is only for context of the conversation,
yes,
so don't fucking piss your pants, everyone. I help the Spastic Society.
Well, that's what it used to be known as.
But yeah, it was. It was down Freeman Street.
And the fact
now
is,
you can't say that.
I'm not
saying you should go around saying giving an example from saying things like 20 years ago. I mean, even Only Fools and Horses now is coming to a point where
people should just say that Only Fools and Horses is hate speech, and Friends is now classed as a really lurid TV show. And as much as I'm not into Friends. Yeah, I'm not into Friends myself, never have been, but I can see now anything you do in the past can be used against you in
not
the future.
Not just in the past, though, is
it? No, but that's what they do. They're doing retroactive things, what you've done in the past, to justify what you get sacked for now.
It'd be really good if you spoke into the mic.
Sorry.
So if the sound shit on this, it's going to be your fault.
Yeah, so the problem is nowadays, it's
now
not
you're
just
too loud.
It's not just it's not just what you've done in the done now. It's not anything. It's like if you put a comment in Twitter 10 years ago, or say
but it's not the point. That guy liked a tweet about 2 weeks ago about that transgender.
He
got phoned up
a limerick, by the police, the Humberside Police.
And even if he wrote it, he shouldn't. It's comedy. It's like
by definition,
you can't have comedy anymore.
But I was saying, because we had a transgender on the last podcast. Molly, and I gave her the same thing, and she said, it's getting fucking stupid where you can't say anything.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the left does, which has been done right now.
The left.
there's a thing about the left where they will be oppressed. People get oppressed. It's for justify a reason or not. But in the long run, the left are starting to eat their own people now, themselves, by actually saying, well, you're not as oppressed as I am. So you
do you mean by eat their own people?
Because like I said, feminist allies, for instance, they will help the women out the best way they can. But because they're classed as men, now they're looked as the enemy, even though they're helping people. And that's an issue, because you end up getting these issues where no matter how much you try to help people, you will be classed as something that, you know what I mean? But the point is, you can never win against what the left wants. You can't. Because no matter what you do, the left always wants more. And that's the truth. I'm a centrist myself, always have been. There's a guy called Tim Paul on YouTube. He does centrist content. He looks at both left and right and decides, like that's a bad thing, that's a bad thing.
I would say the left are pushing...
It's an authoritarian.
Are pushing away their left people to the right.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. That's why you're getting a lot of people, like more of the people doing the Brexits and stuff like that, because they see the fact that they're losing what they had because they've been told that they're bad. And if they didn't do that, people would actually feel like quite relaxed about things. But now it's got to a point where you have to be self-censor yourself no matter what you do. You've got to be careful what you say, no matter if it's good or bad. Like, for instance, the Liam Neeson thing came out this week about him saying about what he said about black people. It wasn't a good thing, but it was 20 years ago and he apologised. Now,
that 40 years ago.
Well, you know what I mean? It's a long time ago. He admits on the initial thing that he thought was bad. He said he hated himself. Finally said sorry and a lot. He's moved on. I think that should be the end of it. But now, because of that, he's going to be a racist for the rest of his life, even though he openly came out with it saying it was something I was stupidly doing. I wasn't really in the headspace, and I believe it's wrong. So in that definition, what can be truly okay in this world? That's the thing. What can truly be like? Do you have to be like the most holiest person to be in the right?
Well, this is one of the reasons why I started the podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to be free speech. Anything can go.
Yeah.
Well, within reason.
Yeah, obviously, nothing racial and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing weird.
Well,
paedophilic or racist or stuff like that.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
People, I mean, like, I like wouldn't mind to maybe have someone who's more right than the average person onto where their views.
That's the thing.
It's similar to the left.
Opinions are only opinions. You.
I mean, I won't get Hitler on.
Well, no, nobody's going to get Hitler on, obviously, because it'd be difficult. But
be a bit quiet.
Yeah, but this is the point. By definition, mentioning Hitler, now that can be taken out of context because we've brought something in which the left obviously go, well, everybody's a Nazi these days. So, you know, I mean, it's frustrating. That's the problem. Because
you should write a song about it.
I have. I've wrote loads of songs in the previous last part. But
I hate people. I hate you.
It's more about like virtue signaling. But again,
I like it when people put flags on the profile pictures.
Oh,
I'm in support of France. Oh, Manchester, we're with you. It's like, fuck off.
In
you
some
know
ways,
what I mean? Why
in,
are you doing that?
In some
it's
ways,
the
I can.
Diana
I, no, no. In some ways, I can see that they feel
it
sorry.
Is a Diana effect,
I can
correct.
see they feel sorry for what's happened, but by doing that, it does nothing. You're not donating money to people. You're not helping.
It does do something.
It
glorifies their.
Well, it's only
sanctimonious bullshit they spout on Facebook. Because people who do that, most people who do that, like put a flag, I'm with France, I'm with Manchester, just want it to like...
The virtual signaling.
Yeah.
It's virtuous. It's basically virtual saying, I've noticed this.
Ooh,
I'm
look
gonna...
at me. Look at me. And it was with that ice bucket challenge as well.
Yeah, the ALS challenge, yeah. The way basically, the problem is 90% of these things didn't raise any money. All they did was people doing it because they wanted to be on to be shown to be doing something.
But in the way it did create awareness for things.
It created awareness, but it's still 90% of those people were doing it because they wanted to be famous. It wasn't doing it based on like, we're going
to
raise money. Like, you see people all the time.
Wanted to be famous. I did something that I wanted to be famous on Instagram for. And I got into trouble and got a firearms caution for it, so...
Oh, okay.
I just built a taser, stun gun... And
it's not too bad, then.
And some prick fucking said, oh, I'm his friend, I'm concerned for him. The police came round, caused me loads of hassle.
Yeah, because you've been found to be not in the standard of what they want.
No, because it was illegal.
Yeah, but...
And, like, looking on the internet... And
but
fucking,
apart from that,
I was looking for
perfectly...
Simple operation.
Yeah.
By a switch.
But by definition, putting it online, you're bound to get something happening.
Yeah, but I only did it for likes. I only did it
so,
for the opportunity.
So did Dankula with the old the pug thing. He did it to annoy his girlfriend. He had a little pug, made it do a quite bad thing, the Nazi thing.
Well,
and basically somebody reported him.
He basically, what he did was, wasn't it, he's like got his dog
to say
to like raise its paw up like Zit Kyle. But he said, gas the Jews, and the dog did it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it was a joke for his girlfriend. He admitted it at the start. He said what it was. And the Scottish Crown prosecutor took him to court and charged him £800. And he's still fighting it now. And he's not paid for it. So he still will be he'll be going to prison soon for it. And that's...
Well, he won't be going for it, will he? And it's not what the dog did that he was questioned for. It was for what he said.
Yeah, but the problem was he put
but
context.
It was under the Digital Guide Act or something.
But he told the context before he put it on the video. He said, I'm doing this for a girlfriend. So the context was there. Because then you can say, well, what about the John Cleese doing the Fawlty Towers, the German walk?
And with the fingers...
Is that classed as hate speech now?
Oh, well, what about... what's his name? They used to... Freddie Starr.
It's all the same. You take these things out of context, you can say anybody's done anything. But once you start actually looking at context, you know, yeah, it's clearly a joke. But when you start taking people to court, it's like in London this week, these people who sing a certain rap modern rap. They've been taken to court and had a 9-month suspended sentence because they sang a song that the police said you're not allowed to sing.
What song was it?
It was a drill rap.
This is the fourth time now, David.
It's drill rap.
He won't tell you again.
The job was called drill rap, and it's been pretty reported because the police were censoring a band from singing their material, and that's. We get into an authoritarian state when you get that. You get into akin to what China is now. Britain's fallen slowly into it, and that's communism. Really bad. That's really bad.
And then the left want to go to socialism.
Oh, socialism's part of this country right now.
Not so much because then from socialism you get real communism, but we've never had real communism yet because it's never anybody.
No,
but
don't ever say real communism because that's something what you. You get told every time Russia was doing it, and said, "No, that was not real communism." No,
it hadn't been affected like it would like to be. Put it like that. But we're going to stop it because we're off kilter.
Yeah,
and don't know how we got there. But thanks for coming on.
That's okay.
Send us all your information. Yeah. We'll put it on. Thanks for listening to the Tin Biscuit podcast. If you can like, share, give us reviews, and it gives us more time to get because we've got some interesting guests coming up. We've got authors. We've got another TV star show. You'll recognise him. And MPs.
MPs.
MPs. So. And on that note, we'll leave you. See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye. In the world of revolution.